Welcome to Lakemount Worship Center, connecting you to the life-changing presence of Jesus Christ. We hope that you are blessed and inspired by today's message.
An article from the Washington Post on November 8, 2019 read this way: Benjamin Schreiber is very much alive, but that hasn't stopped him from arguing that he died 4 years ago. After the convicted murderer collapsed in his prison cell in 2015, doctors restarted his heart 5 times. And while recovering back at the Iowa State Penitentiary, Schreiber filed a novel legal appeal. Because he died before he was resuscitated, he had technically fulfilled his life sentence, he claimed. In April 2018, Schreiber filed for post-conviction relief, claiming that he was being held in prison illegally. His sentence was supposed to end with his death, he argued, which had taken place 3 years prior when his heart stopped. The inmate took his request to the Iowa Court of Appeals, which was similarly unpersuaded. In an opinion published, the panel of judges didn't attempt to reckon with the spiritual or medical definition of death, a philosophical question that has generated intense legal wrangling and complex debates over medical ethics elsewhere. Instead, they zeroed in on what life in prison means. Dying for a brief moment of time doesn't amount to a get-out-of-jail-free card, the Iowa Court of Appeals ruled on Wednesday, saying that the 66-year-old will remain in prison until a medical examiner determines that he's dead for good. I mean, you have to hand it to the guy for creativity points. It's a unique attempt at playing the system for a career criminal. But I want to say to you, cheating death is not the same as conquering it. What we remember and what we celebrate today is not how Jesus exploited a cosmic loophole, cheating death, but we remember and we commemorate and celebrate today how Jesus boldly stepped into humanity and offered himself as the perfect sacrifice for sin and death, and how he robbed the grave of its power, and as a result, has taken his followers, you and me, through faith in Jesus, he's taken you and I off of death row. And by his own death and his own resurrection, he's made us right with God. I'm going to ask you to take your Bibles and look with me at Colossians chapter 2. And I want to read a passage of Scripture. We're just going to take a few moments to reflect on this. Then we're going to come to the Lord's table in remembrance of the sacrifice of Jesus. Colossians 2 verse 9 says, "For in Christ all the fullness of the deity lives in bodily form. And you have been given fullness in Christ, who is the head over every power and authority. In him you were also circumcised in the putting off of the sinful nature, not with a circumcision done by the hands of men, but with the circumcision done by Christ, having been buried with him in baptism, and raised with him through your faith in the power of God, who raised him from the dead. When you were dead in your sins and in the uncircumcision of your sinful nature, God made you alive with Christ. He forgave us all our sins, having canceled the written code with its regulations that was against us and stood opposed to us. He took it away, nailing it to the cross. And having disarmed the powers and authorities, he made a public spectacle of them, triumphing over them by the cross." That's what we celebrate today. That's what we remember today. As we work through this text for just a few moments, let's just unpack some of the things that we've just read and allow it to get a little deeper into our thinking, a little deeper into our spirit. First of all, it tells us that Jesus is God in the flesh. That's what verse 9 says. "For in Christ, all the fullness of the deity lives in bodily form." It's quite a statement that God took on human flesh, and that in Christ Jesus, the fullness of God, the fullness of the deity, lives in bodily form. We understand this through our faith in God and the worldview that His Word provides for us, that God created humanity in His image. The Bible tells us that. Male and female, He created us in His image. And part of being made in His image is the aspect of having free will. That is, that we can decide to love God or not love God. We can decide to turn right or turn left. We can decide to live in Grimsby or live in Smithville. We have free will. It was too much for us to handle. In our arrogance, our ancestors, Adam and Eve, yielded to pride and temptation. And as a result, all of humanity fell under the power of the devil through their disobedience to the will of God. And God could have simply overridden His own laws. He could have just brought us back to Himself without our consent. But if He would have done that, He would have broken two laws. He would have not been perfect and holy because He would have broken His own law to cancel our free will. And so in order to be perfect and holy, God needed to devise a way to save us because He loves us. This is how He did it. God entered humanity. He took on human form in order to bring humanity back to Himself. He did that in the person of Jesus Christ. God loved us so much that He took it upon Himself to become human in order to fulfill the righteous requirements of His eternal law, because none of us have ever been able to live fully to the perfect requirement of God's holiness. Only Jesus did. And only a perfect person could be the sacrifice that would qualify in God's holiness to cancel the law written against us. And so in Jesus, God is all the fullness of God dwells within Him. The next verse tells us that we've been given fullness in Christ, who's the head over every power and authority. Faith in Christ fills us with the power of God. What a thought. That just as all the fullness of the deity dwelt in Christ, now the Bible tells us, and we have the fullness of Christ dwelling in us through faith in Jesus. That means that there's a whole new kind of life that's available to you and me, because we used to be powerless against sin, but now we have the fullness of Christ within us. We can live a whole new kind of life. We can live free from sin. We can live and conquer, and more than conquer, through our faith in Jesus Christ. The fullness of Jesus dwells within us. It's by simple faith in what Jesus accomplished on the cross. Well, what did He accomplish on the cross? Well, the next verse, verse 11, addresses the subject of circumcision, which sounds a little bit more than odd for us today to come up at a time when we're talking about deep spiritual things. But to a first century Jewish audience, this concept hit them profoundly, because they understood that the sign of circumcision was given to the Jewish people in the Old Testament as a covenantal sign demonstrating their unique relationship with God. That unique sign demonstrated that they were God's people. In the Old Testament, the sign of circumcision was a physical act. But now, verse 11 tells us that through faith in Christ, Christ circumcised our hearts. He cut the sin out of our hearts, removed it, and separated that from us so that we could really be set apart and identify as, now we're God's covenantal people. Wow. Which means, here's a big one, we died with Jesus on Good Friday. What? But I'm sitting here. Having been buried with Him, listen to verse 12, having been buried with Him and raised with Him through your faith in the power of God who raised Him from the dead, having been what? Buried with Him through baptism and raised with Him through your faith in the power of God who raised Him from the dead. So before I even had faith in Jesus, I had no power over the tendency within me towards sin. But through faith in Christ, the old me died that day. If there is a new creation standing here before you, if you've given your life to Jesus, if you've put your faith in the finished work of the cross, you're not who you used to be, and you're not a better version of you, and you're not just a Christian version, sanitized version of the old you. You're a brand new creation. Because on Good Friday, the old you died. Not only that, but by that same faith, he's raised you and me to new life in him. When, verse 13, when you were dead in your sins and in the uncircumcision of your sinful nature, God made you alive with Christ, and he forgave us all our sins. Man, that's worth circling, highlighting, writing down, reminding yourself. He forgave us all our sins. He forgave us all our sins. How? Verse 14, having canceled the written code with its regulations that was against us. What's that mean? The law, the perfect law of God stood against us. Why? Because we were guilty of breaking it. And James says, if you break one command, it's the same as breaking all of it because the condition's the same. If you break one command or you break all the commands, our condition spiritually is the same. We're powerless to make it right again. Only Jesus could do that. And what was happening on Good Friday? Jesus was taking the law that stood against us, and he took that into himself. He was taking the sin that you and I committed, and in fact, the sins of the entire world, and he was taking the sin and the law and everything that stood against us, and he died in our place. And when he died, sin died. When he died, the law that stood against you died. And verse 15 says, having disarmed the powers and authorities, he made a public spectacle of them, triumphing over them by the cross. Every place where you transgressed, every place where you failed, every bad thing you've done, and every evil that's been done against you, Jesus took it upon himself so that when he died, sin and the power of the law that stood accusing you died with him. Unlike the inmate at the beginning of this message, Jesus didn't just faint or fade for a minute, but he was brutally crucified, and he bled and died and was buried for 3 days. He paid for your sin and mine and fulfilled the legal requirement of your punishment and death by taking on sin and dying in your place. Jesus took my worst day, my worst sin, my worst moment, and the worst that hell had brought my way, and he nailed it to the cross. And I love this, he disarmed the spiritual powers and authorities that were reveling in my failures and sin and defeat. He disarmed them. The spiritual forces of evil, which animate hatred and disobedience to God, and which were at work in my life, blinding me to the truth of the love of God. Jesus disarmed them. And I love this. He made a public spectacle of them. How? Because if hell knew that the cross was going to unleash the love of God and the power of God and forgiveness, hell would have fought against, Satan would have fought against the cross. It was God's sneak-up plan. And here's Jesus laying down his life, and Satan and his demons and the powers of darkness are laughing, going, we did it. We killed all the fullness of God dwells in him. Whether people know it, we know it, and we just killed him. Yay! And Jesus is like counting to three. And when they thought, when the powers of darkness thought that they had conquered, Jesus was laughing on the inside because this is going to get good. This is about to be a spectacle. The reason we call this Good Friday isn't because of a heartless lack of compassion to the sacrifice of Jesus and the suffering of Christ, but it's because Jesus offered his life, knowing full well that through his death on the cross, he was liberating you and me from the cycle of sin. And he was laughing at the devil and disarming the powers of darkness over your life and mine, all through simple faith in His name. Jesus was laid in the grave for 3 days, but He robbed that grave because He had authority over sin and death.
Thank you for listening to today's message. If you would like more information on who we are, visit our website at lakemount.ca or download our app for your mobile device.